Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather as your church, to be the representative, to be a representative of the body of Christ assembled in Grenada, Mississippi. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified as we sing praises to you. You're worthy. It's not just that church isn't just on the level of person to person. This is not just an earthly thing we do. It's something that rises from earth to heaven. Because there's a message that came from heaven to earth. And we're here to reciprocate that, to respond. We're here to say we have heard your message, that we love you, that you're worthy of our praise. And whether we're gathered in one place, and for those who are gathered and scattered throughout all these different places, we want to lift our voice up to you because you're worthy. Receive our praise, Lord. Heal our land. Heal our bodies. But Father, I pray that you would hear I love you back. And we do give you the praise. And we ask that you do also do the work. Not just the heaven to earth and the earth to heaven, but help us to be an encouragement to those who are hurting. Thank you for Mr. Jimmy being here in the midst of sorrow and grieving. Thank you, Lord, for his family who are witnessing their love for him by sitting next to him and being with him and gathering with him. And Father, I pray that you would just keep us. Thank you for those who have said, we're going to gather. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. That's just praise.
Amen. Let's worship together.
I'm there.
cool song.
In my head. I think that's kind of what we need a little bit during times like this. The things that God has put into us deep down at our core that help us know Him. That's what's supposed to come out during times of tragedy. That's what's supposed to come out. That's the reason He's put it deep down in us. This next song we're going to do is a prayer. I know we've already prayed, but we need to pray more. This time of crisis, any time, good, bad, or otherwise, should drive us to pray. But this song is just a prayer for God to descend upon us, His Holy Spirit that He's put within all of His people, and just for us to trust Him and know that He is good.
Thank you.
103 says this.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't know about y'all, that's good news. Amen? The same God who healed diseases, who healed sin, who forgave and had all that mercy and love in the Bible is the same today because He never changes. Our circumstances seem to change, but everything here has an expiration date. The good news is God's steadfast love does not. Next song we're going to sing, we'll talk about Him being our rescuer. And so I'm really excited about that. I just thought I'd...
He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. Our freedom forevermore. Oh, how deep the sound. Oh, how great the bound. Well, praise the Lord, our rescuer. There is good news for the captive. Thank you.
Father, I thank you so much that
you are the God that is above everything, that you are sovereign, you are almighty, you are creator, you are savior, you are rescuer, you are the beginning, and God, you have no end. You're the Alpha and the Omega. And Lord, no matter what is going on with us, you've got it. Lord, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for your word. In your name I pray. Amen.
Again, we're glad to be here gathered. There's things that God does in a group gathered that need to be done. Songs that need to be heard that make us cry. That give us hope and that remind us of the truth, the big truth of things. Not that there's, I'm not talking about this, the idea of this virus being deadly and all those things. I believe all that they say about it. I'm not saying it's a hoax or it's not all those things. I just know this, that people have souls as well as bodies, and that we need to take care of those too, and the church is meant to be a hospital for that. A spiritual hospital where people can go and find medicine given through the Holy Spirit of God. Precautionary medicine, preventative medicine, emergency medicine in some cases. We need His help and we need each other. Y'all, we're going to... I have a whole potpourri of things that have been in my brain. I was looking, you know, I see Fletcher and some other preachers with me, and you can imagine all the things that probably would go going through your brains too at this time. And so y'all just pray that something... some kind of cognitive, recognizable human thought will come out of this, you know, and God would direct it through His Spirit and it'd be right on what people need. But the first thing that I thought of and I expressed earlier is just a sense of gratitude that I'm grateful. Y'all, I'm grateful for the folks who are leading this country right now. If we complain about them because that's our national pastime. But the real deal is this. They're doing something tough, and we ought to be thankful that they're doing it and probably not us in that sense. It's not an enviable position. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for our medical personnel who are, and everybody who's putting themselves in the way of danger and to take care of other people, to do their job and to stand in that way. We ought to be thankful, and I am. And we ought to be glad, again, that God has allowed us. Whether we're gathered here in a group that I think probably qualifies for the most part as far as social distancing, we got a pretty big room, we got a lot of space, and we're spread out pretty good. And so, but you know what? The church is essential. There's going to be a lot of talk about essential and non-essential coming on. But because we are spiritual beings as well as physical beings, because we have a soul and not just a body, there's things that need to carry on to take care of that. I promise there is an enemy. that's trying to get an alcoholic to drink, trying to get a user to use, trying to get somebody who's down and depressed to end it because they don't see any hope in going forward. Y'all, I promise there are people who are struggling. I promise that the enemy who looks to steal, kill, and destroy, he's not taking any kind of quarantine break, I promise. On the other side, I promise this. The Lord who came from heaven to earth and is the light of the world, he don't ever stop working neither. And it don't matter what all we're going through in that sense. We still need to take care of ourselves, mind, body, spirit. We need that hospital. We need the Word. We need the light of God. So I want to start just a little encouragement. Some pictures that I've shared with the church before, but that just come to my mind. Okay? And I don't know. We're going to try to throw the verses up there as best we can. They asked me at the beginning. They said, what verses are we going to use? I said, I don't know. What are you going to say? I'm not sure. So I know in 1 Corinthians 15, down late in the chapter, there's a picture of death being swallowed up by victory. There's a picture of the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's right in there around verse 54, 55, and 54 through 57. I'm not going to read all these. I just want to give you all a picture. In this passage, right in the middle, it says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? And this is what I'll remind us. No matter what happens in this world, Christ has defeated the biggest enemies you'll ever face. And he's rendered them powerless over those who believe. Now somebody might say, but John, we're going to die. We are. But yet again, I promise in the gospel, because God promised, we will yet live. There's an eternal life. And the pictures he's given me of his victory are this. First, he's defeated the enemy. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where are your shackles? This is what I pictured. I've shared this with y'all before, but it's worth repeating. Y'all know I'm afraid of red wasps. I know, I weigh 500 pounds and I run. I run from web to web. You too? You testify to that. No matter how big you are, man, one of those suckers is like, bzz, I mean, it's like change of program. You know what I'm saying? My children haven't heard me say many bad words, some, but not many. But several of the times I've been locked up in the cab of a truck with a red wasp, and that's when those words have a tendency to start going. And, and I start saying, oh, man. So God showed me something. He said, death is like a big old red wasp, but the sting's been pulled out. I mean, it's sitting there flying and buzzing. It's like, and it gets your attention, and it'll make you afraid. But if you'll look closer and you'll trust Jesus, you'll see it don't have no sting. It's like God done plucked it to grab it, and Jesus said, and just let it go ahead and keep buzzing. Because I'm going to tell you something that my mom reminded me of, and I'm thankful that she did. Her and I were talking, and we've been talking more lately. You know, there's some good things going to come out of this quarantine. There's some good things going to come out of this. Maybe families are going to start talking more, reading more, praying more, playing more games. Annabeth went and got us a game, and we played it, a meme game where we decided, and we've already, anyways, it's been good. We've had some family time stuff. But this is what my mom said. My mom, who I love and who loves me and hasn't been really a part in that sense of the church, but God's working in her, working on her, working through her. And she said, John, people need to be reminded that death's going to come to everybody, but what's going to happen after that? And I'm going to tell you, the red wasp is still there so that we'll remember that we're going to face mortality one day, but we don't have to be afraid in Christ because the stinger's been plucked out. Likewise, he says, where's your, oh Hades, where's your victory, or where's your shackles? I always picture them like plastic handcuffs that you used to play with when you was a kid. Remember those? You'd get them in the set, the sheriff set, man. He'd have a little hat, little gun, little plastic handcuffs. And death seems like that. Seems like this trap you can't get out of. Yet, when you go, you say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is like, this is plastic. It can't stop you. It can't stop him. Y'all, listen. Jesus has won. Jesus will win all the way. Jesus has won. When we put our faith in Christ, there's nothing, nobody who can outdo or undo what Christ has done for the one who's put their faith in him. He has got the victory. Here's what's so awesome about Jesus in this passage. It says, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all listen, y'all got your favorite sports teams and next year they'll start playing again maybe. I don't know, but I know this. When they win, you ain't going to get a ring for watching them on TV. When they win, you ain't going to get to hoist the trophy over your head and make a speech just because you wore their shirt or paid the tuition at their school. You wasn't on their team, you don't get that victory. You just get to watch and say, I was a fan. But the victory that Jesus Christ won over sin and death and hell, He gives that victory to us. We will hoist a trophy with Him. We will have a ring on our hand with Him. We will be winners and champions with Him. He gives us the victory. That's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. The other picture I have in my mind that just gives hope. You know, this is one of those times when we just need hope, need reminding of hope. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, y'all have heard me say this one. I like what Keith said, that it's times like this where we go maybe to something familiar. You know, we take these old truths that we've heard and we bring them back out to the top. Revelation 1, I'm going to start in verse 17 and just read 17 and 18. It talks about how John fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to death and Hades. Y'all, I love this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told y'all before, it's kind of like playing capture the flag. Y'all remember playing capture the flag? How old you got to be to remember that? I don't know. I'm sure people still do somehow, right? Capture the flag, you have a big, like a big field. I always picture a football field. And God really put this vision in my head. We're like on a big field. And we're playing capture the flag. The church versus the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the church had been in a defensive position, all just huddled up around our flag, crouched down, elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder, afraid, not trying to win, just hoping not to lose, not going forward, just hoping we don't get driven all the way back. And you know, in that huddle, that defensive huddle, there wasn't a lot of encouragement. There was a lot of griping. I don't like that kind of music. I don't believe in that translation. Would you really wear those kind of clothes to this kind of huddle? A lot of griping and complaining and preferencing and traditioning and denominational and all this was all... It was all the time. The enemy just kept getting closer and closer and closer, and we were just saying, don't take our flag, don't take our flag. But it's like we looked down behind, past the enemy, down the field, and we looked and Jesus was at the other end. And in His hand, He had the enemy's flag. And He said, hey y'all, look, I won! I won! I got their flag! They was trying to get y'all, but I got their flag! Man, Jesus Christ has won! It doesn't say, I got their flag. But see, that's just a game, capture the flag. What it says is, I have their keys. Which means Jesus ain't playing. Which means He knows how to shut them down. He knows how to open it up. Ain't nobody locked in or locked out because Jesus has the keys. See, this ain't a game. Death and Hades, Jesus holds the keys to them. You might say, we got this problem going on right now. We all got a death and Hades problem if you ain't remembered. And Jesus Christ has the keys. That's who we need to trust. That's who we need to follow. That's who we need to say, oh my goodness, who's in charge? You want to know who's in charge? The one's got the keys. You got in here because somebody with a key let you in. Somebody with a key is going to get in your car. If you leave me your keys, it'll be me. Jesus has the keys. Y'all, we don't need to lose hope. We don't need to be those who just crouch in and back away. Look, I think about those who don't believe. I've seen people spitting out hateful things at the church. I've seen a lot of griping and complaining going on Facebook, which might become gripe and complain book if they're not careful. I've seen a lot of things like that. We don't need to get in all that. We need to look downfield and say, Jesus already won. Tell somebody. And for those who don't believe, for those who say, oh, faith and Christ and all these things, that's a bunch of mumbo jumbo. I want to tell you, look around. We got you surrounded. We ain't just in this building. We're in your neighborhood now. We're all around. You can't hide. Christ is coming and He's got the keys and you better put your faith in Him. That's how we survive this deal. Another encouraging thought comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, verse 5 is one of the most triumphant verses that we have. And God gives it to us just so that we would know that there is no battles of equals when it comes to God. A lot of people think good and evil are fighting each other and they're slugging it out as if somehow they're both heavyweight champions and it's good and it's evil. Can I tell you, there is nobody in the same rank or weight class as God. He stands alone. This is not a heavyweight fight between equals and who's going to win. I hate to break the drama. I hate to cut to the chase and ruin the ending. But God wins. Just like in a dark room when you flip on the light wins and dispels the darkness. John chapter 1 verse 5 says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not stop it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness ain't got no possible action except for to flee. The darkness can't stop the light. And I love that idea. My mom shared that with me too. She said, she was talking about some churches they had in Michigan, in the Detroit area, where I'm from. They have a whole bunch of stuff going on. Churches have not been forbidden. Churches haven't been forbidden here either, by the way, just a point of reference. They hadn't been forbidden, and they had this community talk about why the churches were going to meet, and they had medical folks, and they had pastoral folks, and they let each one have their share, each one have their time to talk. And what she said was, the pastor got up there and says, the light shines, and it won't stop shining, and we're not going to back off, and we're going to keep on going. That don't mean we all have to gather at one place, but let it be known that the light continues to shine. And it's here and it's there. And if you're not gathered with a church, be a spark. Be a light where you are. Who knows that your neighbors need you right there, right now, in such a time as this. Serve. Be ready. Be on guard because the light shines. That's what it does. The light shines. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, the light shines and we don't put a bushel over it. We don't put a basket over it. Matter of fact, we lift it up. We lift it up so everybody can see the light shining. We pick it up. You put it on a hill. A city on a hill can't be hidden. We're not meant to be hidden. It doesn't mean we ought to be gathered in the same place. It means wherever we ought to shine. Man, there's a victoriousness. There's a triumphant deal with the church when Christ is working through us. And we need not forget that. Now, none of that was the sermon. That was just me talking. I want to talk to you. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. I want us to remind us of something. When we think about the essential part of the church, we ought to think also about who the church is for. And it's really easy to think that the church is for us who are here only. It's really easy to think that we gather just for those who already are on the in. Matter of fact, in my own personal testimony, I never felt like I belonged in the church. As a person before I was saved, I never felt welcomed. I never felt like I was a part of, you know, I felt like it was all an inside deal and I was on the outside. Which, in my mistake, in my error, made me think that I must be on the outside with God, that I must not be wanted by God because I'm not wanted by the church. However, once I got saved, I got saved in 1994. Jesus Christ saved me because I recognized that God existed, that I've sinned against God, that Christ died for my sins, rose from the dead, and I asked Him to forgive me and make me His own. And after I got saved, the man who led me to the Lord and shared the gospel with me said, "You need to go to church." And I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, you're saved. You need to go to church." I said, "I'm saved. I don't need to go to church." He says, "Well, why not?" I said, what does the church have to do with Jesus anyways? I've never seen Jesus in the church. Jesus never reached out to me through the church." And you know the truth is, He had. I was just so obstinate. I was just so blind. I was so just cynical and not believing. There were people who reached out to me before then. I just wasn't ready. But I remember having this prideful tirade with this wise man, and he did what wise men do. He said, "John, let's look at the Scripture." And he showed me in the Bible the church is the bride of Christ. He showed me in the Bible how Christ loves the church. He showed me in the Bible why I should be a part of the church and why the church was essential. It wasn't an option for me to choose yes or no. It was a body to which I now belonged. And he said, "Come on." And I came on, and I was taught through the Word by the Spirit and wise folks that the church was essential. Again, it don't all have to be gathered in one place. Big buildings aren't the church. Big programs aren't the church. Big budgets aren't the church. We might sing songs like, "I like big budgets and I cannot lie." But, oh, get that? No pun intended. However, that is not what the church is about. The church isn't about the big. It's about being a hope for people who need Christ. We tell them, "Come on, there's hope for you. There's a place for you. It's open for you. Everyone's welcome." And when the time gets tough, the hospital for souls needs to be open. Even if it's just one doctor in there. Even if the great physician is the only one who can do the work, because he is. There ain't nobody else here who can do the work that he can do. But I want you to hear this, and then we'll talk on it. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus was being asked why he was hanging out with the group he was hanging out with. How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? Verse 17 says this: "When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners.'" I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let me read that one more time and read it clear. Jesus, when he heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be the church gathered today. And Father, thank you for those who are the church scattered today and are having a time. Maybe they're joining us on Facebook. Maybe they're having a time around the Bible and praying. Maybe families for the first time praying together. Because families in our country have a tendency not to, even mine. But Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would grow us. I pray that you would lead us in this time and help us to be a light for those who are hurting, an essential, necessary light. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus came and said, no, I wouldn't know. It's our... I'm praying because I just started my sermon. That was all the preamble. I was like, bye. Hey, let me, it's a reminder. Mark 2:17 is a reminder of this. The church doesn't exist only for those who are there and are on the inside and have come to believe. We are there for those who are lost, those who are soul sick, those who are hurting, those who are wounded. We're not only here for ourselves. Y'all, in this whole time, I almost get this idea that church isn't essential because it's just a group of people who are just trying to pat each other on the back or say an attaboy, or it's all this human thing. But it's not that. It's not that. We are here to encourage each other. We do have good sound and good music and good stuff, but it's not here about entertainment. It's not about the people here who are already in. It's about the one who's out there who's still sick, the one who's out there still lost, the one who's hurting and needs, in the confines of a group, to say, man, I'm able to cry, and I'm able to say, Lord, thank you and help me all at the same time. Jesus said, those who are sick, and there's a lot of ways to be sick. You could be mentally ill, and the church is for those. You can have an addiction of illness, and the church is here for those. You can have a spiritual illness like despair or fear or paranoia or cynicism or atheism, which is a spiritual sickness. You can be those who have recently lost, having lost jobs, having lost homes, having lost hope, or having lost somebody you love. And you know what? The church is here. Christ is here. Jesus did not stop calling sinners when he went to the cross. Jesus did not stop calling those to repentance after he rose from the dead. Jesus continues to call those who are hurting, those who are lost and sick in sin, calling us to repent, calling us to join with him. And we need him. We need him. And we need each other. Y'all, listen. The church is essential because people have more than just a body. We have a soul. We need to connect with God. Whether you do it in a group like we are today, or you do it in your house like I hope you are today, you need to connect to God. People need to know where they can find hope, and people need to know that the people of God believe. Y'all have no idea, I don't think any of us do, of how important it is that we carry on our faith. It's important that they know we believe. So right now, I'm going to give you this offer. At whatever time, whatever thing, it'll be all right, whatever thing we got to do with the Lord, wherever you are, just know this, Jesus Christ is calling. He is inviting you. There is a hope, and he's not going to stop. Church is not just for the well. Church is not just for the plugged in. Church is not for the click of whoever. It's not just for entertainment. It's hard for our folks who are quarantining themselves from church, because Christ Community Church is a cool church where people want to come. So they ain't taking the easy road by quarantining. Their kids are saying, why can't we come? But be that church. Be ready for Christ to call people to you wherever you are, because he's calling the sick. He's ready to heal the sick. He's available to the sick. We're where everyone is welcome. Don't ever forget that. That's the essential part of what we're doing. I'm going to invite you now, if you have any kind of business to do with the Lord, this is your time. You can pray at your seat or you can pray up here. But I'm going to invite you this way. If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's nothing and nobody who could take him away from you. If you die without Christ, there's nothing and nobody can help you. Hitler is dead. Scott, I love you. I'm telling you, if you're here today and you need God to do a healing in your life, why wait? The times we're in are a reminder that we don't need to wait. We don't need to put off till tomorrow. And I tell you something, in the last 10 days, I know of 7 people who have passed. None of them of this disease, Somehow we've become so focused on this, we think nothing else is happening. A friend of mine lost his mom because she got hit by a car. A friend of mine lost their son in an accident related to addiction. A friend of mine lost his wife in a procedure and had something go wrong. But I can tell you this, ain't none of this a surprise to God. And I can tell you about those three people that I mentioned. I know that those who have Christ in their life, not only is it better for them, it's eternal life for them, but it's good for us. Y'all listen. God has something for us. And for the sick, God has something for us. We're not here just for us. We're for here who need those who need help. If that's you, you come ask God today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have. Thank you for all that's going on today here, going on in homes, going on in this world. You tell us to be thankful always for all things. And Lord, I don't even know how it's possible without looking beyond this life and looking to you. But we recognize that the church is not here. We're not here only to have big groups. We're not here just for ourselves. We're here because there's someone lost who needs to know, who needs to hear, who needs to find someone who you're looking for, and you're using us. So use us, Lord. Work through us. And we love you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, the Bible says this about being saved. It says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's another passage that says this, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So if you're here this morning and you need to be saved, don't put it off. If you're on Facebook this morning and you need to be saved, what are you waiting for? If you're here today and you're Scott, we love you. Y'all, the church is for the sick, not just the well. Christ is calling. It's your time to respond.
Lord, I come. Bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh. Temptation comes my way.
When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. I want defense, my righteousness. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, now I need you.
My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Please. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, like he said, I don't have her no more. He has her. He's in a better head than she's ever been in her whole life. Y'all just pray for me, please. I love every one of y'all. Thank y'all very much for being a part of my life, my wife's life, because she's the one that brought us here. I never forget it. She said, we got to have a church where everybody's love, where ain't no fuzzing, fighting, bigger than anything going on. And this is a place right here. Mm. Thank God for that. Amen.
Love y'all too.
There's a, y'all continue to pray for Mr. Jimmy and his family. And they're having a service tomorrow, and it's going to be at 2:00. It's family is going to be gathered earlier, but at 2:00 at the Woodlawn Cemetery right there, just, you know, right in the middle of town, kind of. And I think everyone's welcome to that. But everybody just pray. In fact, let's pray for Mr. Jimmy and them right now. Lord God, specifically we pray for my brother. And Lord, I thank you for him. I watched him. I'm a witness to how he loved his wife and how he cared for her and how he was there. He was there with her through all of it. And Lord, I thank you for him. I thank you for his faithfulness. I thank you for his diligence. And Lord, I thank you for Miss Patty, because she believed. She expressed her faith to me. She had confidence in you, Lord. Not because she was healthy and not because she was so strong or so good. She believed in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And thank you for being that for her. And Lord, use this situation and every other just that we would be yours. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, we are going to take an offering. And I'm going to pray as the ushers come, or the usher. There we go. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have and to give and to return. And Lord, we love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul. Thank you.
Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then
never going to stop being great. Oh, what an opportunity we have to go out, regardless of situation, and just say, God is great. We're loved by Him, and we love Him back. Amen. Hey, thank y'all for letting me be your pastor. I love y'all. Ready, break. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh.